All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to rock and roll. Listen, these gentlemen were present at the Miami Dolphins facility today, and so were a lot of the rookies that are with the team this season that look to make a major impact, hopefully. All right. First and foremost, we're going to kind of like dive right in. But this stream is being powered by Prize Picks. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But again, ladies and gentlemen, hit the like button. Let your friends and family members know about the channel. Looking at the stats, about 40% of the viewers that watch are not even subscribed, which means some of y'all creeping. Okay, what's up with that? Y'all watch the show every week, but you just can't hit that button. Punch that button, man. Listen, man, if I've done you wrong, I'm sorry. If Omar's done you wrong, he's sorry. Alan, I can't speak for him. He grumpy sometimes. I don't want to get chewed out. And if Doug did you wrong, he's sorry, man. But let's go ahead and dive in. Omar, Alan, you both were present today. We'll start with Alan here. Impressions, first impressions. What were your thoughts and how did you feel about the day?
DJ Campbell looks sixth-round pick, the guard from Texas. He's got an interesting body, but he looks like he's pretty rock solid. And again, let me preface this by saying we were allowed to watch about, it wound up being like maybe 30 minutes of the practice, the longest stretching period I've ever seen. Right, or I can recall from the Dolphins.
It was 40 minutes because we got 2 20-minute periods.
So like so I was saying, it was about 40 minutes. Longest stretching period I can recall. And then it was outside and there was position stuff. So not a whole lot in terms of – and I didn't see one quarterback, one of the two quarterbacks who were there, throw a pass. So can – you know, you can see how they run, how they move. Caleb Douglas looked to me like a little bit – Gumby body type, if I want to say long and lean, as opposed to the UDFA from Michigan, McCauley, who's also a 6'4", but is built like a tight end. DJ Campbell, impressive looking by, looks like he's built strong. And I can't believe I'm going to repeat this, but I remarked to Omar, like, man, his ass is up, is high. Something, because a lot of guys have I can't believe I'm going there. Like the ass.
Okay.
He's got like a very high ass. Okay. This is just a kind of really, really deep dive analysis you get here on the Dolphins Collective and the All Dolphins podcast as well. Outside of questions, Michael Taft looks like he could be a high school equipment manager. A lot of it's the baby face. I mean, he's got a baby face. He's also, I'm bigger than him, and I'm not a bit, I'm not small, but I'm not big. And he's not big in the least, and he's got a baby face on top of everything else. Mason Rieger, or partly Rieger, I took the time to ask him. Mason Rieger looks like he's 35 years old, straight out of villain movie typecasting. About a great story about how he was once advised, and you may want to consider medically retiring. He didn't. Caden Proctor, everybody's going to want to know about Caden Proctor. Didn't stand out one way or another in the way he looked. He's not like Richmond Webb like in the rock solidness of his body, but he's not Solomon Kindley either. So I will leave it at that for now, Omar, and then I'll jump in and add other stuff as we go.
Yeah, I'll pick up where he left off, which is Caden Proctor. Thickly built guy. I looked at him. He's not high cut. They have him listed at 6'7", 352 pounds. I'm not second guessing or questioning the weight and the size, but it's thick arms, thick legs. He reminds me a lot of John Jerry, just a John Jerry that can move better. And you know, take that for whatever you want. Considering, yeah, it's just
also taller, a lot taller.
Yeah, I remember John Jerry was pretty tall. John Jerry wasn't. I think John Jerry might have been bigger than 6'4". But It's just one of those human beings where you're not going to get pressured into the quarterback. You know, he's not going to get bull rushed into the quarterback. I think he's very thickly built. I really like the linebackers, their movement skills. They were being taught the techniques of the position. That's probably the group that I watched the most. It was interesting to see Jacob Rodriguez and Kyle Lewis and the other one was Trey Moore. They were all working together in unison, and for some reason I could see and envision all three of them in the starting lineup for the Dolphins at some point, not this season, but in the future, as as the inside linebacker, the weak side linebacker, and the Sam linebacker. I can tell you right now, the Sam linebacker is wide open. I couldn't tell you. If they're going to run a 4-3 defense, who's the Sam linebacker? There isn't one, unless you view Chop Robinson as a Sam linebacker or Uche as a Sam linebacker. I have no idea who's going to play Sam linebacker.
Aptly mentioned, Uche may be getting some snaps at Sam linebacker.
Yeah. Really didn't see the wide receivers. It was – and I wrote a column about this in the Miami Herald, as I've been talking to you guys and
consistently. I've had it's been 7 months you've been talking about writing your column about Kevin Coleman. Can you publish it already?
It's published now, sir. I explain why I think he's going to be the most impactful of the Dolphins' rookie receivers.
Wow.
He moves differently. He creates separation. Very reliable hands. The only thing I don't know is if he can give you those run after catch yards. I got to admit, I was impressed with Caleb Douglas. He is big and he's fluid movement wise. He's not a split end. He's more of a tall flanker. It'll be interesting to see what he can do in terms of, you know, body control, catching the ball downfield. He moves differently than probably a lot of the receivers that I think I've. I would only say Preston Williams is probably the only guy that I can kind of put into that frame of how he moves, because he moves better than Devontae Parker to me.
He moves better than Preston Williams, right?
Preston Williams was a pretty damn good receiver before he got hurt. Hold on.
But
now.
He was still like he was still a stiff.
Who, Preston Williams?
Preston Williams is not a stiff.
No.
He's not out there making like instant cuts and doing all of that. Like
Preston Williams making people look crazy in his Furky training camp.
Going up to get the football, he was making people look crazy. But his movement as far as left to right, sideline to sideline. No, not even close to Caleb.
I thought Caleb Douglas looked kind of thin for me. I thought he'd be a little bit thicker. And we haven't mentioned, maybe to me, the guy who's going to be the best wide receiver of those three. That's Chris Bell. Not immediately, but I said not immediately. Don't shake your head. But he was out there today, which was a very good sign. He took part in stretching. Then he did some work on the side. He wasn't running routes with the other wide receivers. But just the fact he was out there. Certainly an encouraging sign.
He came off a little bit smaller than I expected. Maybe I need to see him up close and personal, but he didn't look all the 6'2", 220. I would say maybe they might be fudging a little bit on that size.
Maybe he hasn't worked out with the weights in a while. But I, you know what? I can't believe I hate it when I do this. I agree with you.
Oh, look at that. See? Yeah, and I agree with you that DJ Campbell had a high booty. Yes, yeah, high booty.
Well, quick questions. Let's go back to Kevin Coleman Jr. So do you see the potential in him to pass up Malik Washington?
I think it's not necessarily pass up Malik Washington. I think he's exclusively a slot, whereas Malik, I think, is going to play different roles. Mm-hmm. Malik is probably going to move around from flanker to slot. And keep in mind, receivers is probably the position that gets injured the most in training camp, receivers and cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. So somebody's going down. And then when that person goes down, the next guy gets elevated. And more than likely, it's going to be Malik Washington because he knows, well, he did know all the positions and all. I think he's going to know. He's respected as a smart receiver. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And Kevin Coleman, he's got return specialist ability. So, you know, we're going to see him back there as well. He just adds a little bit of a different dimension to this offense that they don't have right now.
Now, Alan, you recognize DJ Campbell's build, and Omar seconded that motion. Is that just more so, he's pretty big guy, or you look at him in the way he moves and say, hey, we might got to have a guy that's really in contention for that right guard spot. Which one is it?
Well, the way he moved, you mean jogging 5 yards on the line when
there's a lot that can be told in that, Alan. Yeah. There's a lot that you can see in.
Sorry, not enough. let's just say I'm intrigued to see him when he's actually doing football work. That's where I'll leave it. As far as could he start? Dude, the competition's between a rookie, a second-year player who struggled badly as a rookie, and a guy who was a backup on the worst offensive line in the NFL. So while I happen to like the signing of Jamari Salyer, I'm not here to tell you he's headed for 5 Pro Bowls in his future. So, yeah, the opportunity is there if the guy balls out in the offseason program, the rest of it, and in training camp. But as far as predicting his ambience, and this is the thing we do, and I was making the point that to somebody, and I wrote about this on Miami Dolphins on the side. The Dolphins have 13 draft picks, and as we look at all of them, we can find things that we like and know this promising, and they could make an impact and all that. Can we understand that not all 13 of them, the odds of all 13 of them making the roster are microscopic? It would be a record for the Dolphins to have 13 players make the roster. And that includes when the draft was 17 rounds. That's number one. Number two, and we're really expecting to have 6 or 7 rookie starters. And if you have that, hello, 2 and 15 or 3 and 14. Oh, you cannot have that many rookies. TD.
What if they hit on 7 legit guys?
Then they'll be good 3 years from now. They're not going to be good with 7 rookie starters in the lineup. Sorry.
I agree with him.
Coach that many rookies.
See?
We're not coaching 13. We're coaching about 7.
I know that, but still, you cannot have that many rookie starters in the lineup and expect to have.
One thing he said, I think people are underestimating what kind of player DJ Campbell is. I believe he was a top 10 recruit coming out of high school, a 5-star player, top 10 recruit, became a very quick starter. Now, why he settled in at right guard, I don't know, considering that's kind of the leftover position in the NFL. But remember, that's the only position he plays. So it's a very specific position. If you're comfortable at, and he moves people, I think his weakness is pass protection, but he moves people, and this team wants to be a running team. So more than likely he's going to have he's going to have an even playing field with just about everybody else in this competition, because I think if it's even, they're leaning towards the rookies.
Man, oh man. Quick super chat from Dolphin Gino Omar. Based on rookie camp so far, who's a bigger dog, J-Rod or Lewis?
Build America.
Lewis, you talking about Kyle Lewis? Who's the bigger? Kyle Lewis is the bigger player by 15 pounds.
Who's a bigger dog?
Huh?
Who's a bigger dog?
I didn't meet either of them, so I can't sit here and I can't sit here and tell you who's a dog.
You can form a conclusion after 20 minutes of position drills.
And we only got to talk to each rookie for 2 minutes. So, because they had to go lift weights. So, it's.
I was like, ooh, that's not a big dude. I mean, I know he's an undersized linebacker, but it kind of struck a little bit.
Everybody was relatively undersized from what I saw. The ends, defensive ends were undersized. Mm. The linebackers were undersized. The safeties were undersized. The only people who weren't undersized were the tight end. Well, one of the tight ends was undersized. One of the wide receivers was undersized. And then you got Proctor and DJ Campbell.
Did you get your eyes on guys like Chris Johnson or Will Kazmary?
Chris Johnson.
A little bit smallish. Am I right?
Yes, you're correct. Everybody was. Everybody was a little kind of smallish.
Here's the thing. They've been training for the combine and the draft, and maybe they were very focused on speed and all that.
Movement, yeah.
Correct. And didn't necessarily work on the upper body, and that's why they're all when I say smallish, most of them, when I say that, I mean in terms of size, not necessarily height. So especially with Chris Johnson, he's around 6 feet or whatever. That's his listed height. But I thought he was kind of lean.
Interesting. That definitely explains it. What about Kazmarek, though? Anything?
That's a big dude. A big dude. Yeah, he looks a part of a blocking tight end who's going to move people. That absolutely. Yeah.
He's a big dude.
So have we gotten an official timeline on Chris Bell?
He's going to be 9 months into his rehab in, I think, late August. And that's right about the start of the regular season. And when I saw him on the field during stretch, I was like, is he going to be working? We're 5 months into the rehab process. I was like, this is going to be interesting. And then when the receiver started to do position drills, he was like took to the side and was sitting on the exercise bike, but I didn't see him actually. He was no, pedaling?
He did.
Okay. All right. I went to go watch some defensive players.
Have we looked up a timeline for that type of injury yet?
Yes, 9 to 12 months. Come on.
9 to 12.
And then ACL. Today's ACL is not the same as the ACL of 22.
I think that's based on the position that you play. If you're a receiver and you're running and you're cutting and you got to stop on a dime, running back as well, you're not coming back in 9 months. Stop lying to the people. You're not coming back in 9 months.
Yes. Sorry, it happens. Correct. It depends on the recovery. Not all recoveries are the same, but to suggest it's impossible for him to come back and be ready for the start of the regular season, I think is inaccurate. Would I count on him being ready for the week one? No. Would I dismiss it? No.
So you're confident he's going to play at least half the season?
Again, no setbacks. No setbacks, yes.
Wow.
If he gets 6 games, I'd be surprised.
Okay.
4 months into the regular. I mean, if he gets 6 games, that's 12 weeks.
I think he's an October, beginning to practice kind of guy.
Wow. So no chance we see him line up in camp.
Doubtful. Very doubtful.
Okay. Man. Secret weapon going to have to wait a little bit. News, we need to transition real quick because there was some breaking news right before the show. Okay. The New York Jets decided they wanted to extend running back Breece Hall to a 3-year contract worth $45.75 million, if I'm not mistaken. $15.25 per year fake money. Still waiting on the guarantees for Omar for the real money since the cap isn't real. But here's the deal. Did Achane's price just go up? Because I've been telling people Achane gonna get 17 plus million. And a lot of people, you know, they disregard that. But now looking at Breece Hall's deal compared to Devin Achane, did his price just go up? What's your thoughts, Alan?
Based on what you're saying, that comes out to $15.2 million. Oh, I got to get out of here in the next couple of minutes. Sorry to everybody, but I have to leave my door.
So you can go ahead and hog the airtime this one time.
Touche. $15.2 million per season. How much? The guaranteed money is probably about $30 million in guaranteed money. He already had his franchise tag, so that was $15 million a year. Am I willing to pay $15 million a year for Devon Achane? Probably. I mean, as a famous quarterback once said, the market is the market.
There you go. You and I will have a conversation since TD decided he didn't want any part of it. To me, yes, Devon Achane's agent is going to look at that contract and point to the Dolphins and go, get us there. We still have Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson who are in line for new contracts, who I'm going to guess are going to get a lot more than Breece Hall. And I think Achane, I would think, probably is a little bit better than Breece Hall, but not by much. They're kind of in the same ballpark.
And Breece Hall's coming off a terrible injury. Achane is.
Well, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know, but he still have it. Still have it.
He's got in his past, and Achane doesn't, and Achane's a little bit younger. And so I think Achane's probably going to point to that and maybe want a little bit longer. But
$15.2 million is still a lot of money, substantial money for a tailback.
I know, but again, was it you made the point, or was it Tito made the point, or Doug, you have to have some good players as you try to establish your foundation in the first year of the John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley era, which is the dilemma the Dolphins face with both Devon Achane, with Jordan Brooks, with Aaron Brewer, who are three pillars that Hafley and Sullivan talked about, but all three of them are heading into contract year. That also includes Austin Jackson and other players like that. But those are the main guys. And we were having this discussion in the media room after drafting Jacob Rodriguez and Kyle Lewis, even though he's going to do some safety work, maybe. Are we really keeping Jordan Brooks for the long haul? Are they
going to? To me, it's not necessarily about Jordan Brooks. It's Terrell Dotson. I see Jacob Rodriguez as a heir replacement for Terrell Dotson, who is also a free agent at the end of the season. I would guess that one gets signed, and they've already made it very clear that Devon Achane is at the front of that line to get his new contract. And then Brewer already restructured his money. He probably wants to get into the top five of center pay. I'm not necessarily certain that I'd be willing to do that. I'd probably put him into the top 10 just because of the size and the durability and the concerns about age. And to be honest with you, I'm not extending Jordan Brooks. I'm flirting with the idea of using a franchise tag to secure him if I do get Devon Achane to sign an extension. I'm not necessarily certain that extending Jordan Brooks is the best route for building the franchise. And I'm a huge Jordan Brooks fan. I like him, but he's an inside linebacker. Why would I want to pay him $16, $17 million?
You make a good point. Yeah. Welcome back, TD.
Alan, thank you. I don't know what's going on, but
I gotta
get out of here. Your take on?
I got to take
right,
a 5
Omar, take care. For,
appreciate you guys.
Hey, bud. Oop, you knocked me out too.
I'm going to get you in here. Don't.
No, it's only. Okay. There we go. Now I thought I was going to go solo.
Right. There we go. Did you already give your take on Achane?
I did. And no offense to Dolphin Gino, but that question's been on up there. Can we remove that from the screen? I'm sure we have other super chats that we could go to.
Absolutely.
No, my point was that the other running backs of the Dolphins have to concern themselves with is Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, who also are in line for extensions, who are going to get, I would suspect, a lot more than Breece Hall got. And I think we can make an argument that Devon Achane maybe is a little bit better than Breece Hall. Breece Hall's a really good player. But sorry,
not Achane. But
didn't I say that Achane was a little bit better? You want to make him significantly better?
No, he's a lot better.
Okay.
In my opinion. But what's the number though? AAV. What do you think we'll settle at with Achane?
I think that's a good question. Now, I'm sure Achane's not taking anything less than 15 because that's what Breece Hall got. And then we got Bijan. Again, like I said, Robinson and Gibbs were going to be more expensive than that, and it would behoove the Dolphins to get on Achane sooner rather than later, even though I understand they're working with the restraints of their cap situation right now.
Who's working with those restraints?
I'm sorry?
The Dolphins
right now have $2 million of cap space until June 1st.
Yeah, and but an extension wouldn't it save them money? Just making the first year minimum.
They've already restructured. Well, they're going to have to give them the signing bonus. They can't just signing bonus to count some of it has to count now. I don't know how much lower they're going to be able to go than what he's already at. He's only at 5'8", I think, in his cap number because they restructured him already. And Aaron Brewer, the one they haven't restructured is Jordan Brooks. So I don't know. Yeah, I know you threw out 17. It very well may land around that.
Interesting. All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get into some of the super chats. We have a lot of people who drop super chats. Thank you all. We appreciate the love and support. Omar, you just came from a workout, or is it our Florida son? What, he got a 10 or something?
He probably
did. Appreciate you.
He was
a matter of fact.
He was doing his, spot. He was talking to us from the Dolphins media room.
Got it. So, oh yeah, I forgot y'all were out in the sun today, right?
The lighting wasn't great. That's why he came out. And we got some sun because it was hot out there.
Nice. Alan talking about impressing looks. Players is like how Omar talks about the roster at Tussie's.
Why? Because I talked about DJ Campbell's big high butt? Okay.
Oh, man. I'm jazzed about Rodriguez, too. But, man, I'm still so impressed with the fans landing Kyle Lewis, 138th overall, steal of the draft, in my opinion. A lot of people have been talking about him, Alan. Do you, based off of your evaluation of him, see that big-time player potential?
Yeah, but it's not a full-time role. So I think as a specialty player, I think he's got a very high-end potential. He's one of those. I don't make predictions on like some other media folks or podcasters I know. But I am very high on his potential. I like the kid a lot. I think he's going to be a really good player.
All right, there you have it. Alan says he's going to be an all-pro. I love it. All right. Look at the mustache on Jacob Rodriguez and Tom Selleck and convince me those two aren't related.
No, Jacob Rodriguez is straight out of 1970s porno movies.
I don't know who Tom Selleck is. Who is that?
Magnum P.I.
What's Magnum P.I.?
Oh, boy. For the younger
about it. I remember hearing it.
For the younger folks watching, Magnum P.I. was a television show starring Tom Selleck, who was once upon a time a baseball player in his youth, actually a very good one, who also starred in a movie called Mr. Baseball, I believe, about American playing baseball in Japan, which actually was a cool movie. But he was famous for having a very thick mustache.
I knew you would have the answer, Alan. All right. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver, Jets nickname Gumpy. Tall, lanky, flexible, fluid movement. Douglas, thanks you for the compliment.
You know who Gumby is, right, TD? Or is that that's before your time as well?
Gumby?
Yeah.
Who's Gumby?
Oh, my God. Look it up. Gumby was a like an old Play-Doh figurine, like a horse in cartoons or something.
Gumby. I remember, I don't know why, but it's a fade in my memory, Gumby. I was about to say an elephant or something.
No. That's Dumbo.
Okay. Yeah. Gump. See? Close enough. Proctor wearing 74. Not off to a good start. Gonna have Liam PTSD on that first bad rep. Oh, man.
Dude, he
came to revive the number.
And he got a number. He rocked at Alabama, so he was happy about it.
In fact, that was the Alabama number?
Yeah, we're 74 in Alabama. Interesting. Jacob Rodriguez got number 10, which he got at Texas Tech. I think they're the only ones who kept their same number. Interestingly, Michael Taft, who wore 16 at Texas after switching in honor of his high school friend who got killed in a car accident, wound up with 31. There was no 16 on the roster. They gave 16 to Mark Gronowski, the UDFA quarterback from Iowa. So wow. I think those are the only two who kept their college numbers.
So who was number seven? I saw a seven.
That was Caleb Douglas, who was number seven today.
Caleb Douglas, okay, yeah. And number three is...
Well, which is weird because he wore three at Texas Tech. They gave three to Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson wore one at San Diego State, but now it's being worn by Jalen Tolbert.
So Chris Johnson probably had first dibs being a higher drafted rookie.
Yeah, I don't
know. To pick numbers? They don't pick numbers?
Well, Taft told us that basically that's the number they gave him, and you're going to like it. And based on the conversation we had, and for some reason, unless I'm losing my mind here, I could have sworn that rookies had a say in what numbers they got. And based on the conversations we had today, they were basically assigned their numbers. And maybe that varies from coaching staff to coaching staff. Some coaches, like, what number do you want? I'm not sure how that works. I have to look into it.
Anybody got what they wanted or in relation?
I'm sorry?
Any player got the number they wanted or in relation to what they already wore?
Proctor wanted Proctor and then Rodriguez got kept their number. Outside of that, I'm looking here real quick. Bell, different number. Lewis, Kyle Lewis, different number. Lewis Moore had 17 at – no, that's I'm sorry. Trey Moore had 17 at Texas. He's wearing 17. There you go. He kept his number. Hmm. Jerome Baker number for a linebacker. That was his number at Ohio State. Outside of that, no, DJ Campbell, 63. I think he had 62 at Texas or something.
Got it. All right. Number one Heat fan said, thank you, Omar and Poop, for the work you guys do at the Dolphins camp and UT and Dougley for giving us fans the platforms to get the information. Salute to you. We appreciate you, man. Yeah, man. Four guys that work hard at what they do. I truly believe that. So, TD, you don't remember Gumby? Somebody in the chat. See, you done put me on Front Street, Alan. That's crazy. By the way, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to know that this.
Hold on. Hold on to you very quickly before you get the prospects. Someone else pointed out, I think it was Idleman pointed out, my bad, Caleb Douglas wore 5 at Texas Tech, and that number, I don't know if it's been assigned yet. 2-2 Atwell might have it. I'm not sure. Somebody has it.
Mm. Got you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this stream is being powered by Prize Picks. Again, take advantage of the $50 instantly when you play $5, and that's all in lineups. Use code HMA. I keep showing y'all that on Prize Picks, they have futures. You get to take advantage of them. Right now, I got a nice one in for Caleb Williams to throw over 3,500.5 yards, for Matthew Stafford to have another MVP caliber season at 3,874.5 yards over, and Derrick Henry low-key just still putting up numbers, y'all. Nobody's paying attention to it. I think he ran for 13, 14, probably even more yards last year. It was crazy, but they got the line at 1,274.5. If he don't get hurt, he gonna hit it. That's how I look at it. So you can go on Prize Picks, tell me, you can follow me and see all the picks that I make. Also available in so many states. I keep reminding y'all, Texas, Florida, California, even New York. So many. Just check it out. See if your state applies. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel, and make sure that you play responsibly. Okay. That's very important. All right, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So a few more things, Alan. I just wanted to ask you some questions. You know how we talk about there's nothing to look at. These guys working out. It's nothing. What was the level of how can I say it? I don't want to use the word intensity because they're not getting up and at it. But was it intentional today, though? Like moving from one area to another, being serious, doing what they needed to do, and not so much lallygagging. Like, did you see people getting to where they needed to and with the sense of urgency?
Well, understand this. This is a rookie mini camp. And what basically this is, more so than a series of practice, is basically an orientation weekend. Like, this is these guys' first exposure to life in the NFL. So, we're going to teach you how it's going to be in the classroom meetings at the NFL level. Obviously, they all did it in college. They get some media training as well, even though, again, most of them talk to the media in college. It's a different animal. They'll probably have lectures from nutritionists. I mentioned meetings and all things like that, how they run practice, even how they stretch. And like I said, to me, that was the stretching period was nothing I'd seen. I can't remember seeing. It was completely different. So that's what a lot of that is. And you have a bunch of rookies who are, you know, entering the NFL. So they're going to be on their P's and Q's. Generally speaking, the attention to detail, they're paying attention. And sometimes the coaches will instruct them, okay, now we're going to go over here. Now we're going to go over there. And no, there's no lallygagging around. It's efficient. It's quick. So from that standpoint, it was basically everything you would expect from a day one of a rookie mini camp.
All right. Another question, Jeff Hafley. Mm-hmm. How did you see him today? Was he out there? Was he present? Was he talking to guys?
No, he was out there. Actually chatted us up a little bit while they were doing stretching. I'll be honest with you, after that. Now he was there around. I'd be lying to you if I said I was spending a whole lot of time looking at him. John Eric Sullivan also was there. All the main guys. So wish I could tell you more, but other than he was there, and it would look very highly organized. I don't know what else I can tell you.
All right. So I know that you primarily look at everything that the Miami Dolphins do, but I just wanted to pick your brain real quick just for a little about our division right now, the state of our division. Buffalo had a draft, wasn't very impactful, but they do, you know, replace some pieces. When you talk about the New England Patriots, they made moves for the future, nothing to really impact them today. And the Jets, you know, they probably had an amazing draft that impacts them immediately with the weapons that they brought in. How do you see, I know a lot of people have the Dolphins in the basement, but how do you see the strength of the AFC East and maybe even from a tier level 1-4 right now?
I don't know about 1-4, but there's clearly a separation between the top two and the bottom two. I mean, I'm not exactly saying anything that not everybody knows. The big X factor in all of this is if you're somebody who believes in the idea of distractions at the NFL level, and to me, I kind of take it with a grain of salt to a certain point, but this whole thing going on with Mike Vrabel and the Rossini situation, I don't know that that's necessarily good for building momentum heading into a season after you reached the Super Bowl last year. And I don't believe in distraction. I believe in juju. And last year, the entire offseason and training camp, the juju around the Dolphins, the vibe was just off. It was completely off. Like, they were coming off an 8-9 season where Tua had missed sometimes, and it's like, Tua plays logically, they're going to be good, but it just doesn't feel good. It feels like something bad's going to happen. And you kind of get that feeling a little bit with New England. I've never been a huge
comparison.
I've never been a huge Stephon Diggs guy in terms of bringing him to a locker room because he's volatile. But he can also be a perfect veteran to get a team over the top. And now New England has let him go, replaced him. And are they really going to bring in A.J. Brown in June? To me, this is a guy who can be a disruptor big time along the same lines. If they can overcome the bad juju, the bad vibes, and the Vrabel distractions or whatever, I mean, it's a good team. They're not going to be 14-3 like they were last year when everything kind of fell for them. But they're going to be tough, and Buffalo is going to be Buffalo to me until Josh Allen is Josh Allen. And even though I think some people last year were knocking his season, was he third in the MVP voting? I mean, and he failed to make some plays.
Which is crazy.
I know, and he failed to make some plays in the playoff game, and they lost at Denver. But it's basically because if Josh Allen doesn't completely kick ass, Buffalo's just a very average team. Well, at some point, everybody else is going to have to pick up their level. But I still think they're good. And the Jets, I think, are building it the right way, except I still don't know if Aaron Glenn's the correct head coach, number one. And number two, with all the respect in the world, Geno Smith to me at quarterback is very mid.
But, I mean, they got weapons now, though. You know, last year they got a tight end in the second round. This year they get a tight end in the first round. They get Casey Concepcion to go with Garrett Wilson. I think they were the DJ Moore.
Concepcion in Cleveland.
Not.
Omar Cooper.
Wait. Hold on. Omar Cooper. Why am I saying KC? Omar Cooper Jr. But Geno's a gunslinger. You don't think that's going to be beneficial for them? And maybe even have him looking like he did when he was in Seattle.
So high end, they win 7-8 games. I don't know. I'm not. And then the thing is, I'm sorry, but this thing that didn't have weapons last year, they had Garrett Wilson, wide receiver. They had Breece Hall at running back. They had rookie second round pick Mason Taylor at tight end. They had what is a pretty good offensive line, unlike 3-4 years ago.
It's true.
And they still couldn't get it done. I think right
Justin
now
– Justin Fields, though.
Correct. And then Geno Smith better than Justin Fields. I think you could look at them. I don't know that they can make a push for New England or Buffalo, to be honest. They should be improved. I just don't know. And the best-case scenario right now, if we're going to be honest about it logically for the Dolphins, is they beat out the Jets for third. I don't know how much higher.
So, but what if New England – can't escape the Vrabel juju, that feeling, and Buffalo can't escape that feeling as well, especially with a new coach and all. Could the Dolphins win a division?
No.
Like, I just don't get it. Why? Like, y'all are so low. It feels like y'all feel 4 or 5 games. Like, that's probably all they're going to win. Why? I don't get it.
No. By the way, Doll Kings, thank you very much. I love you, too. dude just called me a bum. Okay. Sorry if I'm not. Like, my bad. No, did you see the ESPN analytics guy, the fantasy analytics guy, and his name is Mike Clay, who does it. Did you see what he came out with? Ouch.
Two wins?
32nd offense, 32nd defense, 32nd overall, obviously. Win projection 2.5. And I don't think the Dolphins are going to be anywhere near that bad. But to suggest that they can compete, for the division title, is it impossible? No. I mean, to me, it would be way more unlikely than 2008 when they went from 1-15 the previous year to winning the division. That would be to
but
me.
This isn't a 1-15. This isn't a 1-15 roster. Like in 2008.
Whoa, no, there was 1-15 in 2007, the following year, and the 2007.
Yeah.
2008 roster at this time of year was better than
sorry. I'm just man. It's just such a new energy and refreshing feeling. Sure. But then everybody's like, "Oh, you go 2, 3, 4 games." It's just tough.
But here's the thing: is if I'm a Dolphin fans, I'm very optimistic that they got the right guys in place and this thing is going in the right direction. But I'm not taking the lead. What?
But it's only one direction it can go.
No, there were 7-10. It's not the only direction it can go. And the direction
7-10, but when they stripped everything, you know you're like sitting at the bottom.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. They could have the same roster, and you have had no indication to this point that they got the right guys in place or that they have a good plan in place. And right now, I'm telling you, I like Halfley. I like Sullivan. I have a lot of confidence that the Dolphins hit it with those guys. I have a lot of confidence.
I agree.
I got a lot of confidence that the Dolphins are going to become a really, really tough out sooner rather than later. I'm just not ready to say that that's realistic for them to compete in 2026. That's too much.
What was the record for the Dolphins, Brian Flores' first year?
5-11.
That was with what's the quarterback from Arizona?
Yeah, it was Josh Rosen, right? And then Ryan Fitzpatrick. And they started 0-7 and they were 5-4 in the second half of the season. Could I see a similar kind of
we won season? 5 games that year.
Yeah.
You don't think this roster has more on it? You don't think this roster has more on it than what that roster had?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep, I agree.
We're about to do more with less. At a minimum, win 8 games and shock everybody.
Okay, but that's not winning you the division, though, or making the playoffs.
But all it takes is that 1, 2, or 3 games, Alan, or that one person to get hurt on another team or something, and we're in the mix. I mean, because to me, doesn't Malik have to prove it this year, period?
Yes.
That he can be a starting quarterback?
Yes, but that's got nothing to do with stats or one-loss record. He can prove he's the guy with the Dolphins.
But if he proves it, we win in games too.
Not if your defense is giving up 35 points a game.
Whoever gives up 35 a game, though? Even bad defenses.
Bengals? Oh, how many games did they lose? Yeah. They scored 30 points last year.
It'll be interesting. Let me hit these last few super chats before we get out of here. All right, Garp Gump said, I think the Jets and Fins will compete in AFC East. Me too. I think both teams might actually surpass the Bills and the Patriots.
I absolutely hope so. I don't believe so, but I hope so. Absolutely. Yeah.
There's more parity between the teams than reported. Yes. Yes. Is the Texas Tech quarterback worth looking at if he goes supplemental draft? Yeah, great question. Sorby or whatever his name is. Is that worth the Dolphins saying, hey, we put in a second round pickup for him?
It's definitely worth investigating. Absolutely. And again, do your evaluation. If you think he's a first round player, spending a second round pick now, which would you would forfeit in the 2027 draft? Yeah, I think there would be value there, even if Malik Willis proves to be the answer, because then you would have would have a trade commodity. I don't
think a quality backup for at least 3 years.
Sure. The question again is, but do you have to stop as a second round pick? I don't know if I'd be comfortable spending a first round pick in the supplemental draft, which some teams have done for a quarterback. Bernie Kosar, Steve Walsh come to mind just before your time. I would have no issue doing a second round pick in the supplemental draft.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. But what about his off-the-field issues? You know, the reason he's in this predicament was his gambling on games. Mm-hmm. So is that a concern, or is it still worth it?
It's a red flag that he wasn't smart enough to realize that you know, that was going to jeopardize his college eligibility. Is that a red flag that's going to immediately, you know, take him off the board of a lot of NFL teams? That's a good question. It could be, but NFL teams are desperate for quarterbacks. So I don't know. That's a good question. You frozen on me or what? Look, TD's frozen on me. I'm seeing some of these here in the super chat. Until TD unfreezes, I'll go ahead and read them. I can't bring them up on the screen, but I can see them. Slippin' Jimmy 007. Oh, I love that. Love the Better Call Saul reference. One of my favorite shows of all time. That show is so good. I think we have a very low floor of 0 wins this season and a low ceiling of maybe 10 wins and a playoff slot for a hard rebuilding year. That ain't bad. I don't disagree. Correct. This year is not so much about one loss record. It's about, we have two TDs, dueling TDs. There we go. It's about establishing a foundation, establishing the new Dolphins way, not Green Bay way south, but the new Dolphins way of doing things with Jeff Heflin, John Eric Sullivan. And hopefully the record is as, you know, hopefully they sneak into the playoffs. But most importantly, to set this team on the right course, because they were not on the right course in the least. It was about getting back on the track.
Well, if we give up 35 points a game, then we failed on the head coach hire. If we hit on both the QB and the head coach, we are a 7-8 win team minimum. You know why I'm probably really higher on the Dolphins, like with all this optimism and like unreal, like, oh, this person gonna ball out, that person. I think that I am trying somewhat to manifest something that we don't know yet that could be possible, and that's that Jeff Hafley is a heck of a coach. Sure. He's a really good coach. Like, because can you imagine if he is, like, he shows this year, that is a great coach. That means we did something special. Even if it was missed the playoffs, but you went 9-8 or something, that's special. That's when you know you got a coach right away. Like the Patriots last year, yeah, they had a better foundation, but Vrabel showed his value immediately. Yep. And that's what I'm trying to see, if we can get a team that, even if we're losing, man, these guys aren't there competing and the game went down to the wire. Even if our youth made us lose, the Dolphins should have won 4 more games than they did, but that youth needs to get stronger and gets more wise, and I think we'll get over that hump. At least that's all I'm asking them to give us. You know, what I don't want is a bomb trash year and we sit up here and say, well, they were young. No, I want to see some losing fight out of our youth. And that's why I'm really bullish on the Dolphins right now, because I'm believing in Jeff Hafley, and blindly, by the way, because, you know, we don't know what to expect. But if I just hope it, because it starts up at the top, you got to have that great coach. And I just hope that's what he is. And I'm going to believe that's what he is. And that's why I know we're going to do something special this year. So that's where I'll be coming from when I'm all bullish and excited about it.
And to me, it's like, as somebody who covers the Dolphins and wants to see them succeed, it's like, let me end the 2026 season knowing or feeling pretty good about they nailed the head coach. And the rookies played well enough and looked like they have a high enough ceiling to where it looks like this was a really good 2026 draft. And they got something John Erick sold. Because right now, I can't say that about the 2025 draft class. Because I still don't know.
Well,
correct.
Isn't every player in the 27 draft is like questionable right now?
You mean 25 draft?
25 draft, yeah. Isn't it like Kenneth Grant? We don't know. I mean, all of them. Even the year before, Jonas Savanaya?
No, that was 25. 24 was Chop Robinson, Patrick Paul. Patrick Paul, we have a lot of reason to feel good about. Chop Robinson, mm-hmm. Made a question mark right now. Malik's a really good, solid player. I don't know exactly what his high end is. Is he? I don't know that the ceiling's terribly
Malik
high.
Malik Washington, that is?
Malik Washington, yeah.
I mean, I think he could be a solidified wide receiver 2/3 as a ceiling right now, right?
Three.
But that's low end.
Sixth round pick. I mean, you can't. That's fine for a sixth round pick. But that's to me, those are the benchmarks that I want in whatever the record's going to be. I like I said, I just don't think it's realistic to think 10-7 or 11-6.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly would have zero issue with that. They could be 8-9, and I think the Dolphins were to finish 8-9. If you tell me that right now, I'd be very interested to see how we'll have looked, because it would lead me to believe bigger and better things are ahead.
Got you. Wow. All right, Slipping. Jimmy said, I think we have a very low floor of 0 wins this season and a low ceiling of maybe 10 wins and a playoff slot for a hard rebuilding year. That ain't bad. It's intriguing.
That's the one I read while you disappeared for a little bit, from Slippin' Jimmy, who was a nickname of a character in Better Call Saul. Did you ever see Better Call Saul, TD?
Don't know what you're talking about.
If I wasn't
producing, trying to press all the buttons on the back end today, I would be able to act like I did and look it up.
Have you ever heard of Breaking Bad?
Yeah, Breaking Bad.
Yeah, the TV show.
Yeah, the show, right? Yeah.
Okay, well, Better Call Saul was an offshoot of Breaking Bad, and it's just as good, if not better.
Interesting. Do you think they evaluated Dolphin players if they love football for the cuts? Before the cuts? If so, was that taken into consideration during the cuts or just money?
Are we talking about the player that they cut in the offseason?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because I think you can make the argument that there are a couple of guys who I think were more concerned about their money than they were love football. But that happens with veterans. You know, you don't necessarily have that issue as much with draft picks. But some veterans, I'm not going to name names and start going down the list because that's too easy and it's going to piss off some people. But, yeah, I think some of the guys they cut, you could question whether loving football was number one on the list. I'll leave it at that.
Interesting. I think Brooks is gone, Alan.
I think he very well might be. Also,
I think they're going to trade him by camp.
But also I don't question his love of football.
It's just the money.
They're in a pickle with him.
Yeah, they're not in a position to give a 3-plus-year deal, right? And when you drafted guys in that can take over in the future with good assets, yeah. And this is the highest price you're going to get for them right now.
Yep.
So It's interesting. It only makes sense. What about Brewer? Last one. You think they get something done there, or he has to walk too potentially?
That's another one that's tough. I think that the issue with Brewer also is that, I don't know, he's got as much of a trade market as Jordan Brooks would, because he's very scheme specific as a center. And I know there's a lot of teams that run that West Coast style offense where the premium is on athleticism for a center more so than physicality, but still you're kind of limiting the market a little bit. But they're in the same pickle because he's coming off an all-pro season. He wants his bag. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever signed it. Well, no, yeah, he actually got a good deal from the Dolphins. But
this is the last time for both of them to potentially get a real big bag that'll secure their family's future. So that's why it's just crazy to me. I just don't see how they'll be playing in camp. Wouldn't they want to sit out if they don't get something done?
Holding in, yeah. And the other factor here is they have a built-in replacement in place for Brooks after drafting Jacob Rodriguez.
But not Brewer.
Brewer, correct.
At all. Do we have anybody?
Andrew Meyer.
Who's the backup center?
Andrew Meyer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I think they need to sign Brewer. But yeah. Brooks. Yeah, that's a and they want significant money. Solid money. Not this little extended deal. They want to be paid because of the accolade that they achieved last year, both of them.
Yep.
I might end up getting exactly what I wanted all this time. Clean house on all of it. See, Zach Zeeler gonna come back to haunt us.
No, he's not.
Zach is the one that's gonna haunt us.
But he's not tradable, so
is he not?
It's
not, you shouldn't based off of the numbers. Right. But he's tradable. Oh man. But there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Poop is good. We need someone logical. TD is on the left, Doug is on the right, and Omar is out of this world. Poop keeps everything grounded. Look at all the glazing, man.
Dude, I'm getting some hate on the comments. No, I'm getting some love. It's a balanced thing. Can't please everybody.
But there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another episode of Dolphins Collective. Y'all got to make sure you hit the like button. This video right here, I'm challenging everybody. As soon as it's over, go refresh your screen because we want you to hype the video up. It is a feature in YouTube that started this year where if you hype the video, it puts it out to the Dolphin world because there are too many Dolphin fans and we're supposed to be family, y'all. There's too many Dolphin fans out there like, man, where's the great content, you know? They just don't know. And it's up to you all to make them aware. And this is an opportunity to do it as well by hyping the video, getting us on the leaderboard, and it'll push it out to more real Dolphin fans. And we want as many as we can over here rocking with us, having a good time. So we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Any last words before we get out of here, Alan?
Take care of your moms on Sunday. It's Mother's Day.
Yes, happy early Mother's Day, of course. Yes, thank you, Alan, because we want a happy belated Mother's Day. To all the mothers and all those who have mothers, show love, and all those who don't have their mother, the moment and opportunity to appreciate, you know, when you had your mom in this world and stuff. So just think about that. Just know that all mothers are loved over here at Dolphins Collective. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Make sure you go check out Alan. And Doug and Omar, myself, and all of our individual platforms as well. And we'll see y'all on Monday. All right. Y'all enjoy. Make sure you go hype the video. We appreciate y'all. And subscribe. Stop creeping. Make sure you subscribe. We are out. Peace.